1967 was a year of social tumult. The U.S. saw some of its worst race riots. Thurgood Marshall became the first African-American appointed to the Supreme Court, and that same year the High Court ended state prohibitions against interracial marriage. 1967 was also the year the film Guess Who's Coming to Dinner was released.
He thinks that the fact he's a Negro and I'm not creates a serious problem.
Does he?
I've told him 97 times that it wouldn't make the slightest bit of difference to you or to Dad, but he just wouldn't believe me, and so that's why we're here.
The film became a cultural milestone in Hollywood, the first blockbuster to deal with interracial romance. Well, fast forward 38 years, and you get the comedy called Guess Who.
Did you tell them that I'm white?
You're white? You're white? A joke, sir. I was kidding.
Yeah, sister, you funny.
Simon, are you okay? I'm sorry, it was a bad joke.
So did you tell them?
No.
Now, a black girl brings home her white fiancé to meet her parents. Ashton Kutcher is the white boyfriend. His girlfriend is played by Zoe Saldana. And Bernie Mac has replaced Spencer Tracy in the role of the fiercely protective father. Guess Who's director, Kevin Rodney Sullivan, was about 8 years old when Guess Who's Coming to Dinner was released, but he has strong memories of that film's groundbreaking star, Sidney Poitier.
As a little boy, Sidney was sort of my idol, and I thought that Sidney Poitier's character was perfect. He was a doctor, he was, you know, UN around the world. He could have been such a stiff, and only Sidney could have turned him into a human being.
Going back and looking at the reviews for the original Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, it was interesting to see that it was released as a social comedy. And I think most of us remember it more as a social drama. Now, Guess Who is definitely a comedy, and in fact has sort of madcap moments in it. And much of the social commentary in this case is wrapped up within comedy. But were there moments on the set where people were very uncomfortable, where everyone felt like you were walking on eggshells?
Well, you know, we have this big sequence in the movie, this dinner, and Ashton says something about, you know, I told my Uncle Dave, he told a black joke at Thanksgiving, and I told him we shouldn't, you know, we're not going to have that in this house. And Bernie says, so what was the joke? Tell the joke, you know. So in any case, he gets into these series of jokes that start out mild and then get very funny and then get very uncomfortable. Particularly for the audience, not necessarily around that table, because in my family, it's a time-honored tradition to talk trash at the dinner table.
You got to signify to qualify.
Yeah, exactly. So that's all in good fun. But for an audience, that's like, oh, God, please shut up. Don't tell another one.
At the beginning of the film, Bernie Mac and Ashton Kutcher are miles apart. There's a continent between them.
Absolutely.
And by the end of the film, they come to respect each other, and they have this conversation about manhood, and Bernie Mac tells him, you can be whoever you want to be. Your destiny lies within your heart.
Yes.
There is a similar conversation about manhood in the original Guess Who's Coming to Dinner between Sidney Poitier and his father.
Yes.
Let's listen to that clip.
Sounds good.
Dad. You're my father. I'm your son. I love you. I always have, and I always will. But you think of yourself as a colored man. I think of myself as a man.
Wow.
That's Sidney Poitier talking, and you don't hear his father. His father played by Roy Glenn. But it's interesting, if Bernie Mac were giving that speech, would he say the same thing? Because he very much does see himself as a black man, proud black man.
Absolutely.
And is not necessarily in pursuit of this notion of color blindness.
Absolutely right. You know, we're talking 1967, that conversation we just listened to. Think about that time where Dr. King was still with us, you know? And African-Americans were Negroes, and, you know, Motown was in its infancy. Black people don't apologize for anything about their lives anymore. Obviously, some of the issues of race are still very much with us. And certainly for interracial couples, challenges haven't changed much at all. But in fact, our consciousness as a people, we're not apologizing. We're not having to explain or try to differentiate between seeing ourselves as a colored man and a man. So those kinds of issues could not be the underbelly of my film today. Needed to be something else.
Where is Hollywood at in terms of interracial couplings on screen? It still seems like it's a rarity when...
It's taboo.
It does exist. It's something to be acknowledged and dealt with in sort of a delicate manner.
See, I think television does a better job of sort of wiping out, you know, being more colorblind in terms of that. But the movie's really, you know, whoa, it's kind of, you know, still touchy. And, you know, a lot of people like to highlight the moment a few years back when Denzel did Pelican Brief with Julia Roberts, and it was in the book a sexual relationship and so chaste in the movie. I think the movie business is probably the last and the slowest progressive part of our business.
Why is Hollywood behind the curve on that issue?
Good question. When I started working in the feature film business, I realized that there are this group of people that have a lot of say in Hollywood, and they are the exhibitors. And these theater owners aren't necessarily the most progressive people around, particularly in the United States. So there's an interesting transition that has taken place. And I can tell you from my own personal experience, when I made How Stella Got Her Groove Back, that movie opened in 1,383 theaters. And I was told by Tom Sherrick of 20th Century Fox, not a theater more, he told me. They didn't even want to test it outside of the black market. Now, this movie is opening in 3,000 theaters across the country. It's opening around the world. So that was 1998 when I did Stella. In 7 years, we've come a long way.
Many of the principals in Guess Who's Coming to Dinner are no longer with us.
Yes.
Have any of those who are surviving seen this film? And if so, what do they think of it?
I invited Mr. Poitier. He wasn't available that night. But when we started shooting, I called him. And he answered the phone himself. I was so sure it was going to be an assistant. It was like that voice came on the phone. Hello? I was like, uh-oh. Hi, I'm Kevin Sullivan, and I'm the director of Guess Who. And he said, yes, I know who you are. And we had a brief 15-minute conversation. And I said to him my truth, which was, you know, I just wanted to call you because I wake up every day thinking about you and thanking God that you were here before me. And I wanted him to know that. And so he was very sweet and said, good luck. And I invited him to come down and see us if he could. And he was busy and doing a lot of things. So I'm hoping that I can convince him to sit down and watch it.
Kevin, it's been great talking to you.
It's been a lot of fun. Thank you.
Kevin Rodney Sullivan is the director of Guess Who. The film opens nationwide today. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.